Good evening, everyone. Like he said, I am Joel Morrell, and I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I'm really glad to be here this evening, and I thought this evening I'd share my testimony and maybe a few of the things the Lord's done since I joined the team. And one thing that I found is that no matter who you're talking to, your testimony is one thing they cannot argue with. Regardless of, you know, they can say all sorts of things, but they can't argue with what's actually happened to you. Because you're not basing this on second-hand information or third-hand information. It's a personal experience. You're a witness of what the Lord has done in your own life. And it's one thing that no one I've ever talked to has been able to argue against my testimony. And I was born in a Christian family. I was raised in a Christian home. I went to church every Sunday for as far back as I can remember. And I came to know the Lord as my Savior at an early age. I think I was around 7 at the time. And, you know, it wasn't anything super spectacular. I hadn't been saved out of any horrible sins or anything. But one thing I constantly remind myself of is that I've been saved from a lot. I may not have been saved out of all sorts of horrible things, but the Lord has saved me from basically any sin that's out there. And, you know, I know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. But, you know, when I was first saved, I was so excited. Because I knew this. I knew I'm on my way to heaven. And not only do I know that I'm on my way to heaven, I know how to tell other people to get there. Because it's happened to me. And so I would go out and I'd tell my brothers and my sisters and my neighbors and anyone who happened to walk by, you know, I know how to be saved. I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. And this is how the Lord Jesus Christ has saved me from my sin. And I'd tell everyone this. But, you know, some months went by, and, well, it didn't seem quite so exciting anymore. It was just something that had happened to me. As one person put it, I had fire insurance. I didn't have to worry about what happened when I died. That was fine. But that's all I thought about it. Didn't excite me as much anymore. And I went on like that for years. Just sort of, you know I'm saved, but, well, that was it. And I didn't feel like telling other people. Because I wasn't reading my Bible very much, and I wasn't spending time trying to get closer to God. I was just content where I was. And it stayed that way until I think I was around 15 years old. And the first Good News on the Move team came through my assembly. And I was out there. I got to work with the guys for a week. And I saw 10 guys who were absolutely on fire for the Lord, who just wanted to see the work of the Lord press forward, who were excited about being Christian. And, you know, this is something I shouldn't say was revolutionary, but it just hadn't seen much. Many people my own age who were actually excited about being Christians. But this is a really good thing. This is really awesome. And so I saw these guys, and I thought, you know, wow, that is really cool. Maybe I should do that sometime. And at the same time, they're saying, you know, Joel, if you do that, you're going to have to get up and speak in front of people, and you're just not going to like that. And that fact is sort of borne home later that week. I was out doing handing out tracts with John Mark Fiorli down in downtown Appleton. And we're there, and I'm handing out tracts, and John Mark goes, you know, Joel, this is a lot of fun, but I think we should do some open-air preaching. I'm like, you go for it, John Mark. You do all the open-air preaching you want. And so John Mark, he gets up, and he starts preaching. He preaches for 10 minutes or so, and then he turns to me and goes, okay, Joel, your turn. I'm like, no, I'll keep handing out tracts. I really don't want to do that. And he's like, yo, come on, Joel, this is a lot of fun. I'm like, nah, maybe another time. Okay, look, Joel, I'll make it easy for you. And he gets up, and he goes, hey, everyone, this here's my friend Joel Morrell, and he's got something really important he'd like to tell you. I'm like, wow, thanks, John Mark. And so I got up, and I guess I spoke for 2 or 3 minutes, and I really don't have any idea what I said. But John Mark told me it was good. He said I presented the gospel clearly, and I'll take his word for it. I'm not so sure myself. But that was the first time I'd ever done any open-air preaching. And since then, I've done a lot. I was out on the campus this morning, actually, doing some open-air preaching, and that's when my voice is a little hoarse. But I've gotten to enjoy it quite a bit. But through that week, the Lord just showed me, you know, that being a Christian, you know, it's not just that you're saved and that's the end of it. It's that we're growing in Christ. It's not just a point you reach, okay, I'm saved, and, well, that's the end of it. It's a continual process of sanctification where we're being made more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got to work with the team again on a couple more occasions, once in Sioux Falls. I helped with the first outreach. And then as that next school year was working around, my spring break was coming up, and I'd heard that they were going to be doing a major outreach in Alabama, in Tuscaloosa, right over my spring break. And I thought, you know, that'd be really cool to go down there and help out with the guys. And I took a look at it, and I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and it's a long ways down to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And so I looked at it, there's just no way for me to get down there. And so I figured, okay, I guess, you know, I think this is what the Lord wants me to do, but I don't see any way of this happening, so I guess I'll just put that idea on hold for a while. And it was about a week till the outreach was starting, and a brother named Llewellyn Tewksbury, a friend of my dad's from up in North Dakota, calls my dad and he says, you know, I'm taking a van down to Tuscaloosa and there's three guys from my chapel that are going and I've got three more seats. You know if there's anyone in your chapel who'd be interested in going down to Tuscaloosa? Hey, the Lord answers prayer. My dad's like, yeah, I think I know someone who might be interested. And so I ended up going down to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And it was while I was down there that the Lord just showed me. He said, Joel, this is what I want you to be doing next year. I want you to be, he basically showed me, I want you to be out sharing the gospel like this. And so I sent in an application and I got approved. And I wasn't really surprised because I was pretty sure that's what the Lord wanted me to do. I'd skipped out on some college scholarships and stuff. And I just felt, you know, this is what the Lord wants me to do. And since I've been on the team, the Lord has just, he's shown himself in so many ways. And one verse that I absolutely think it's something that the Lord showed me more than anything else probably this year is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's one lesson the Lord has just showed me this year. That if we go out trusting in ourselves, our methods, or whatever it is, we're not going to see any results. It's only when we go out trusting in the Lord that anything's going to happen. And one example of that was, first week we were doing door-to-door. We were in Fargo, North Dakota. And Jeremiah was going door-to-door, and we learned one of the things, one of the ways we learned to present the gospel was with a rope trick. And so Jeremiah was getting started, ready to go through the rope trick with this lady at the door, and he started going through it, and it completely fell apart. It didn't work out the way it was supposed to. And Jeremiah just, you know, he's got the ropes, they're all messed up, and he just crumples them up into his hand, he puts them back in his pocket, and he says, well, it's not about the ropes. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that person put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that afternoon. You know, if we put our trust in the Lord and trust Him to use us, He'll do it. And another example of that was when we were on the campus in Oklahoma, in Guthrie, Oklahoma. And we were there, and I was starting to do some open-air preaching, and I had a paintboard I was doing, and it talks about how, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth, and He died to pay for our sins, and I just got into the part about the resurrection. And this guy walks past, and he turns and he looks at me, and he says, you don't honestly expect me to believe any of that, do you? I'm like, oh, boy. I really didn't know what to do then, and I just sort of silently, you know, asked God, what should I do, and should I answer him, or just ignore him and hope he goes on my way? Well, the Lord prompted me to answer him, and that was the beginning of probably an hour and a half long discussion with the guy. But it was really neat that, you know, this guy here is trying to, you know, break up my open-air preaching, but the Lord used him to draw a crowd. Because everybody loves to see someone picking on the preacher. That's fun. There's a guy standing there preaching, looking like a lunatic. Well, that's boring. I mean, there's people who do that all the time. But when there's a guy standing there, and then there's someone else from the campus yelling at him, now that's cool. And so they all gathered around to listen. We had 25 people or so standing around at any one time and just listening to us. And I kept trying to put the gospel back into the answers. And finally, one statement the guy said, which sort of stuck, was he turned around and he goes, has God ever done anything for you? He turned to the crowd. Has God ever done anything for you? It was the wrong question to ask. Because, I mean, these people, you know, first of all, there was six or seven of my friends, the Genome guys in the crowd, mixing in, pretending to be bystanders, and so they raised their hands. And then there were some Christians who'd stop by, and they raised their hands, and pretty soon, most of the people in the crowd had raised their hands. Yeah, God's done something for me. And, you know, He's done something for all of us. He's offered His Son to pay for our sins. And that was one thing that he couldn't argue with. He couldn't argue with their own personal testimonies. And finally, you know, he just walked off. And, you know, you keep praying for him. His name's Billy. I don't know. He really seemed to harden himself. But, you know, maybe the Lord can use some of what he heard that day just to soften his heart. And one other thought that I had was the Lord, He opens doors. And sometimes it's really surprising. We were in, I don't even remember the name of the town. Cape Girardeau, Missouri. It was Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And we were getting ready. It was a Wednesday night. And on Tuesday, we'd gone through the schedule. And then Wednesday morning, somebody said, hey, you know, there's someone over at the Methodist Church. They have a youth group every Wednesday night, and, you know, you guys could go over there if you wanted. The guy said that he could get us in. I'm like, oh, that's cool. See, one of the persons at the chapel knew the guy who ran the youth group, and, or was involved in it in some way, and he had told him about the team, and he said, oh, why don't you come over and speak at our youth group? And so we came over, and there were 60 or so kids there, and, we were slotted, I think, 30 minutes. I think they gave us 30 minutes to speak. Well, we were there for a lot longer than 30 minutes. I got up, I finished, I was first, we had four guys who were supposed to each share just a little brief little snippet. And so I shared for 5 minutes, and then the next guy got up and he shared for like 10 minutes, and it kept growing like that, and then the next guy shared for like 20 minutes and then 25 after that. And by the time we were done, we'd been there like almost twice, oh, more than twice as long as the original youth group was supposed to run. But the kids just kept sitting there listening because they'd never heard it before. Not one of them had ever, it was, actually I take that back, there was one person there who could give a clear testimony of all the kids there. And the rest of them, most of them had never heard the gospel before. We started talking to the leaders afterwards. Of them, only one of the leaders could give us a clear testimony. And some of them had never even heard the gospel clearly presented before. But it was an awesome opportunity. We got to talk, we got to present the gospel clearly for over an hour to a group of 60 kids just sitting there. And they just drank it all in because they had never heard anything like it before. And no other religion or no other belief system can offer what Christianity offers, because they all say you have to be good enough. But Christianity says, well, there's no way you're good enough, and it offers a savior. And you know, the last story, there was we were in Key West, Florida, and I don't know how many of you know much about Key West, Florida, but it is not a nice place. And we learned that really quickly, and some of the inhabitants, we met a couple of Christians as we went door to door, and one of them said, you know, if you thought Sodom and Gomorrah was bad, you haven't seen Key West yet. Key West is a very wicked city. And you know, one thing though about a place like that is people who are there, they know where they are. C.T. Studd once said, some people want to live within the sound of a church bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Because that's where you find the people who have reached the end of themselves, and they're looking for something, anything, to get out of this mess that they've gotten themselves into. And it was our first day we'd gone door to door, and we got back, and it hadn't been a terribly spectacular day, and we got back and we were starting our debrief, and this guy staggers in the back door of the chapel. And Dan Morris sees him, and he figures, okay, I've got to talk to the guy. And so Dan Morris, he goes back to the back of the chapel, and the guy's drunk. It was obvious. You could smell it. You could see it. He wasn't walking straight. And Dan Morris figures, though, well, nothing else. I can present the gospel to him, and if it doesn't do anything else, it'll keep him from disturbing the debrief in prayer. And he might be able to just understand some of it. And so he went back, he started talking to the guy, and he asked him, has anyone ever shown you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? And the guy goes, hold on a minute. I need to get my Bubba. And he walks out the door. Dan looks after him and figures, oh, well, guess that was different. And doesn't know it. He figures he'll never see the guy again. 20 minutes later, the guy comes walking back in with a Bible tucked under his arm. And so Dan Morris sits down with the guy, and he just starts sharing the gospel with him. And it was amazing. The guy sobered up, and he actually put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. And, you know, as the week went on, he was so excited. Because he kept telling him, you know, no one had ever explained how much God loves me before. No one had ever explained that to me before. And so he would go out with people. He wanted to hand out CDs when we were out on the streets. He wanted to help us, and it was awesome. And the last day, we were getting ready to pack up, and he wanted to pray with us before we left. And he came over to where we were, and I remember the last thing he said was, whatever you guys do, don't stop telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't stop doing what you're doing, because you never know when you'll meet someone like me. And you know, we can go knocking on doors, and we never know what's going to be behind the door. Could be a hardened atheist, although I've run into those on college campuses. I have never run into one going door to door. But it could be a person who's completely lost. They know it, and they want to find some way out. And we'll never know until we knock on that door. And so that's just my challenge I'd leave with you, that we have the best news in the world, and we should share it with the people around us. So, thank you very much.
Wow, what a crowd. Well, good evening. My name is Zach Plowman. I was expecting a few people behind me, but we got a full set of pews. Well, it's great to see so many faces here this evening. Tonight I'm just going to share a little bit about who I am and some of the stuff I've had to go through, and been privileged to be here this very evening. I'm glad to be here with the Good News team. See Mark again. It's been great being able to see him and talk with him a little bit. My name is Zach Plowman. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. I'm 19 years old, and I actually come from a divorced home. My folks got divorced about 8-9 years ago. I remember growing up as a little kid, my folks were separated. They tried to make their marriage work, but they couldn't. I'm the oldest of three. Levi is 12, Abby's 11. I know my mom's saved, without a shadow of a doubt. I know that. I'm not so sure about my father, unfortunately. I pray he is. But the Word of God says you'll know a believer by their fruits. I don't see that in my father. So I pray for him. But I was privileged to be homeschooled for the latter years of my high school career, and that was great being able to learn at my own pace and keep a couple side jobs at the same time. The Lord really blessed me with that. I got saved at the age of 15. I grew up going to church as a little kid. I remember memorizing John 3:16. I knew who Jesus was. I knew what Jesus did. I could tell you almost everything about him, but I didn't truly know him. I didn't truly have a relationship with him. And through a series of events, I got asked this question, "Zach, are you saved?" At first, when I got that question asked to me, I was deeply offended, because here I was, 13, 14-year-old boy, going to church every Sunday, not getting in a lot of trouble, obeying my mom and dad most of the time. I read my Bible every day, and wrote about the chapter that I read for my devotions. It was one of my assignments, and I considered myself to be a good kid. I was offended by that. But as I started thinking about that question, I realized that my daily devotion in the morning was it was more like math or science. It was just the next assignment I had to get done. All right, let's hurry up and read this and learn something from it and get it done and write it down and move on to the next subject. I didn't realize that I was actually reading the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. It's not just a math book that you read and learn from, or a science book, but it's actually the words from the Lord. And so, through a series of different events, I realized, you know, I don't know if I'm saved. And I started asking myself that question, am I saved? And one night I realized that I wasn't saved, that I had never put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus to save me. And so on June 23rd, 2004, I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time, and trusted him to take my sins, wash them away, make me white as snow. And my life has changed radically since that day. It's amazing to be able to see the impact that's been in my life since that time. But I'd like to share a few stories regarding being on the Good News team and some great words, hopefully that will be of encouragement to you. While being on the Good News team, we were all given through the year a little time to go back home to our families. We were given a week off to go back for Thanksgiving, and then about 2.5-3 weeks off to go back at Christmas time, and we have another break coming up in about 2 or 3 weeks, if I remember correctly, that we're given some time to just to relax and go back to our family or stay in the area and just get some downtime to try to catch up on sleep and get re-energized. And well, when I went home for Thanksgiving, my mom picked me up at the airport, and I had a few of the CDs that we were packing up last night, The Uniqueness of Christianity. And I, as we were coming out, we had to pay at the toll to get out of the airport parking. And I handed my mom The Uniqueness of Christianity CD. I said, "Hey, Mom, give this to the guy. Tell him some good news." She's like, "Well, okay." And so she's like, here's some good news for you. Check out the CD. And the guy's like, "What? Okay." Didn't think anything of it. Forgot all about it. Then, got to come home for Christmas. And we were in the vehicle. My mom picked me up again. And this time I had a different CD. I was like, "Hey, Mom, give this to the person at the door." And so we come up to the thing, and my mom's like, "Hey, did you get this free CD? It's some good news for you." And the guy's like, "No, but hey, I'll check this out. Didn't you give me one of these about uniqueness or something like that?" And turns out it was the same guy that got the CD. And what was so amazing about that is 2.5 months later, same guy was working, same time when I was coming home. And, you know, I don't know who that guy is. I don't know his name. Don't know what he looks like. I don't even think I'll ever meet him again. But I was very encouraged to know that simple CD that gets handed out, the people actually do listen to him. Because for a while I was wondering, I was thinking to myself, well, do these CDs actually... Are these CDs actually doing any good? Do people actually listen to these? You know, I was wondering about that, because, I mean, we hand out so much free literature and CDs, and I was wondering, is this really doing any good? Are people actually listening to these, or do they just throw them in the trash when they get home? But it was very encouraging to see that this man had actually listened to one of the CDs and said he'd check out the other one. I remember him saying that, "Yeah, I really enjoyed that CD. It was some good food for thought. I want to check this out. Thank you very much." So it was very encouraging to see that. And, you know, there was a time when the Good News team, we started our year out in Fargo, North Dakota. And, the youngest guy on the team, Chris Pena, he's been a Christian for about 14 months now. Or a little longer, younger, whatever. He's been a Christian for a little over a year now. We praise the Lord for that. But our very first week, we were, it was like 2 days in, and Chris and another guy was downtown, and this guy just walked up to him and started asking these questions. He's like, man, I need to know for sure if I'm going to heaven. And through a series of events, this gentleman by the name of Rasta ended up getting saved. And it was so encouraging our very first week out to see a soul saved in the very, very few first days. Just to see this guy had a yearning to, make sure he knew he was going to heaven. And, you know, a few months ago, the Good News team was in Florida, and, we were at a college campus. I don't remember where we were, but, it was quite interesting how it worked out. We were told we had an area for some open air where we could set up a paint board. There was going to be some other booths and tables set up where people would be gathering around. We could set up a paint board and, you know, share the gospel, and the other guys could walk around the entire campus as much as they wanted to. So I was thinking, all right, and I told one of the guys, you know, hey, I think I'm going to try paint board. I had tried doing the paint board presentation, I think, one other time. And so we get there. I'm lugging the paint board. We get there, and everybody's setting up their stuff. And we're sitting there talking, okay, you're going with me. This person's going with that person. The next thing I know, here I am with the paint board paint and the paint board in my hand. Everyone else is gone, and all their bags are sitting here. And I'm sitting here like this. Okay. I'm all by myself. Everybody's bags, that they've left their bags and their coats here. So I'm sitting here, okay, now what? And there was people kind of setting up their booths. So I come over, set up the paint board, and as I start setting it up, I'm talking to the Lord. Okay, Lord, oh, help me here. I'm scared. I'm sitting there. My knees are shaking. Okay, Lord, you got to help me. Give me strength. What do you want me to talk about? You know, I'm just talking to the Lord. Lord, I need some encouragement. And I'm just sitting here, you know, just barely alive, trying to screw in the screws. And my hand is doing one of these. And as I put on the paper onto the paint board, and I'm putting up, getting it set, I hear this radio, this music start turning on, and it's fairly close to where I have my paint board set up. And the music gets louder and louder and louder until pretty soon it's fairly loud music in my range. And I'm sitting there listening to this rock music coming right at me, thinking, oh great, I'm setting up to do a paint board presentation. Now I have this music to contend with. Now what am I going to do? And then I realize the Lord's saying, hang on, Zach, this is where I want you to be. You'll get this. Just start working right here. This is where I want you, Zach. You got this. You got this. I'm like, okay, Lord. Okay, I can do this. And then I'm sitting there, and I start doing the paint board presentation, and I get done with the presentation, and I'm just speaking, and I was like, okay, well, now what? I'm done with the presentation. All the guys are gone. I got another hour and a half to go. Well, what am I going to do? And then one of the guys, Danny Dixon, he was there, and he does one of these, sticks his hand around the paint board, hands me that Bible. I was like, okay. And so I grabbed my Bible, and I just kind of opened it up and started reading in 1 Timothy as people were walking by, John 3, and talking about how he must be born again. And the next thing I know, all the guys are back, sitting behind the paint board and standing around, eating their lunch. And I look down at my clock as I take a pause, and it's an hour and a half has gone by now. As here I am sitting, still continuing to share from the Word. And not to toot my own horn, but I had been sitting there for an hour and a half speaking. Not by my might, not by my ability, but by the strength of the Lord. It was so amazing to see how, as I stood there, talking basically to myself, but as people would walk by, I was able to share the good news. They'd hear this much. You can know for sure you're going to heaven. Do you know? And I was able to, as I was sitting there, there was these different booths set up, and I was fighting with this radio station that was over here making their noise. So I was having to make a lot of noise, but I would see every once in a while these people, you know, they're sitting at their booths, you know, with their stuff, and they do one of these and kind of look over at me, and they're listening, and then as soon as I make eye contact with them, they do one of these. Oh, and they pretend like they're doing something, like they're not paying attention. And I did that about 3 or 4 different times, and I could see that there was about 3 or 4 different people sitting at their booths actually listening to what I was saying. And I promise you, I won't ever see those people again. But I do know this. They got to hear the good news. And so I just want to encourage you guys that you may just be a simple person, a person of very few words, but the Lord can use you. He's been able to use me. He ended up using a guy who had never spoken that long before in his life. to just continue sharing the good news over and over again, and how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. And I was awed at just the fact that I was able to keep my mouth going for that long. I'd never done that before, and I haven't done that since then. So I praise the Lord that I was given the opportunity to be the broken vessel that the Lord used greatly. And so I want to challenge you guys today, right now, that as we go about our life, that we be the broken vessel. We humble ourselves enough that the Lord can use us greatly and mightily, so the Lord can get the glory. Not you or not me, not to toot our own horn, to be bragging or boastful, but to give the Lord Jesus Christ the glory and the honor in all that we say and do. So I'm just honored to be here with myself and the Good News team, with Joel and Travis and Chris and Isaac and Eric, and all these guys. They're a great group of guys. What's so amazing is we all come from a different background, a different area of the country, different lifestyles, but we all come together for one reason, and that's because the Lord Jesus Christ has saved me and those boys, and hopefully you as well, from our sins. Our sins have been washed away. So I want to challenge you guys to share that good news, because your coworkers, your fellow classmates, your friends, your employees, your coworkers, they're sinners. The question is, have their sins been paid for? Because if not, that means they're going to have to pay for their sins themselves, which means an eternity paying for their sins. Nobody deserves that. Nobody at all. That means somebody's going to hell, unless you tell them the good news. So my dear brothers and sisters, I just want to challenge you to go and spread the good news. Go talk to a stranger tomorrow you don't know, or your coworker, and tell them, do you know Jesus loves you? He loves you so much, he died on the cross to pay for your sins. Just ask him, do you know? And you never know where that conversation may go. You may end up having a conversation that lasts over an hour and 30 minutes long. The Lord is a Lord who can do many things. So, with that, I will turn it over to Mark so we can have a time of prayer.